I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m., we get together for the Think Tank, where we have a couple of our cool friends, non-bomb throwers, get together, usually on opposite sides of the aisle. We discuss what's going on in the world. Today we have Kurt Barr, who runs the elections out in St. Charles County. Braxton Payne, who runs Michael Kelly's operation. Good to see you, boys.
Good to see you.
Everything going well?
Everything's great.
Yeah.
How are the kids?
Good. Just had my second about a month ago, a little over a month ago, and it's going pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are just, you're just moving on through, man.
Yeah, we're done now. So
there you go.
So if any of my in-laws are listening, anyone, we're done. Yeah, okay.
Don't ask.
That's it.
Stop asking.
Two girls and I'm good.
That's great. That is great. Kurt, I learned something new about you. I didn't know you were homeschooled.
Yes.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. How was that for you?
I liked it. I did public school up through third grade. So fourth grade through 12th grade, I was homeschooled.
Yeah.
It worked out well. We homeschooled our kids for a while. The youngest three are in public school now, but yeah, we homeschooled for a long time.
Yeah. Did you take it seriously, like when you were a kid?
I did. My brother a little less so.
Not so much.
But, you know, kind of like anything, like my three older kids, we homeschooled them all the way through. And then the three younger ones, they're now in, you know, one's in high school, one's in middle school, one's in elementary school.
Yeah.
And they are enjoying public school. It kind of depends on your personality and what works for you.
Yeah. I've never met someone who is homeschooled who isn't very smart. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like most of my homeschooled friends are quite bright. Mm. Like makes sense. You know, the parents are focused on it and you're focused on studying and not jackassing around all the time. So.
And then you met me.
Yeah.
And then it changed with Kurt.
After meet Kurt's brother. See how that goes. What do you guys feel like talking about today? Talking about real things? Like what's on your mind? I just spent a week in Florida, so I was sort of disengaged.
I was going to say, you look very tan.
Thank you.
Very good.
And I came inside from the hot sun one day, and I turned on CNN, and Donald Trump was on the roof, and I just turned it off. I'll hear about this when I get back.
Yeah. Oh, I would actually, speaking of disengaging, so one of the things that, you know, in my business, you have to be alert of what is going on. But I find that, in general, sometimes that is not the best thing to serve my clients. And why I believe that is because, you know, if we eat, breathe, and sleep, we're reading the Post-Dispatch, we, you know, we listen to KMOX, we watch CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, we're so enveloped in everything that's going on that we are, I don't want to use the word over-informed, but we are so informed that we find this hard that we cannot communicate to regular voters. Mm. I work for a lot of union members. You know, they're on the job site from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. every day. You know, they listen to the drive time radio on their way home. Then they go to their kids' practices. Then they're making dinner. Then they, you know, then they'll watch a show and then they'll go to bed.
Yeah.
So they're not consuming the news like we consume the news, especially people that are in the business. So. Couple things. For one of the things for my mental health, you know, I kind of disengaged a little bit more than I have in years past, especially since the second Trump administration. And, you know, I get a lot of my news. I read the Post-Dispatch every morning, you know, and I'll listen to KMOX. But, you know, I don't watch the cable news as much. Yeah, I'll tune in here and there. And I read less than watching. And then I get a lot of my news from short clips, you know, things like on Instagram Reels, TikToks. And I'm finding that, like, I'm more, like, I'm just as informed, but, like, I understand how people are getting their information more now than I ever have in my 15-year career. And that's really helping me develop better messages of like, well, you know, just because you're reading it doesn't mean XYZ voter or XYZ member is reading it. And that's one of the things with this, with Trump, it's just so exhausting and it just feels like it's something new and new every day. I think more and more people, even people that care, are just disengaging. And I think that's what he wanted to do. I think Project 2025 was a big the plot in that is just do as much as we can, as quick as we can, throw everything at the wall, confuse people so they can't grasp at one thing and focus on one thing, and we can pass what we want. And it's working.
It's working.
It's working very well.
Yeah. Are you surprised at how well it's working?
No, because it's not a new plan. It's not something that it's just maybe the way and the delivery is stuff. I mean, you look at anything that goes through in Jeff City or goes through the Board of Aldermen or St. Louis County, or you know, at a national level, you'll see that like it's the best when you can just try to do as many things at once, and then like usually what happens is you combine it into one bill, and then that one bill passes, even though there's bad parts, there's good parts, but as long as you can get most of it passed, and that's one of the things in 2009 with the healthcare debate when Obamacare was, in my opinion, they only focused on that. They weren't focused on anything else, and it became the narrative of the entire year, instead of trying to do as much as he could as quickly as he could.
Makes sense. I've been, as everyone who listens knows, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump, but I will tip my hat. He has been effective, like frighteningly so, to the point where I look, and I'm not a giant fan of the Democrats either, but like I come from a legal background where the plaintiff and the defense attorney, they run as fast and hard at each other as they can and do their job so that you have some equilibrium. And I'm mad at the Democrats, like, do something. And I don't even know what they can do, but it's like, do something, because he just seems to be running the table.
Yes, yeah, so I'll jump in there. I mean, in a way, you could say that, you know, what Trump is doing is a lot like FDR, you know, early on. He had his New Deal and all these other deals. And while early on, you know, the Supreme Court's like, hey, that's not constitutional. He was constantly pushing the narrative. And American politics, you can definitely look at before FDR's tenure and after FDR's tenure as far as, like, you know, the growth of the presidency and the power of the presidency and national government in general. And while I'll say that, overall, Trump doing as many things as he can, moving the narrative as much as possible, is ultimately a good thing. There's a few policy positions I can say, yeah, I'm not a big fan of something that he's doing, but overall, I'll say it's a good thing. I was actually just listening to a podcast that is a kind of a national news focus, and they were talking about Washington, D.C. itself and how Trump, far more than Biden or some of the other presidents recently, has just changed the ethos and feel of Washington, D.C., and just that what he's doing there locally and all the things that he's doing is just really just kind of changing that culture, which I thought was kind of interesting. Them bemoaning, you know, how much impact he's had just in his first, you know, 200 plus days in his second term.
Do you like the federalizing of the police force there?
So D.C. is unique in all American cities in that it is truly a federal city. That being said, you know, the police force is not typically a city police force, is a local law enforcement agency and not, you know, anytime we start talking about the National Guard in an area, that there should be for a specific reason, a specific crisis that needs to be addressed, and then, you know, go back to local law enforcement. Now, my understanding is he's not necessarily bringing in the National Guard. He's talking about, you know, other federal law enforcement officers like ICE who are coming in to provide additional law enforcement services in Washington, D.C. And so that could be a good thing. I mean, a lot of people are concerned about the crime there as well as here in St. Louis. But then the other issue of law enforcement is not only do you have to have good policing, but you also have to have the prosecution and defense and the courts to operate as yeah. well. And so just arresting people isn't going to solve the whole issue of the Justice Department, the justice system.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I believe what he's doing in D.C. is absolutely ludicrous. First off, he from the podium using wrong numbers that, you know, and they're live fact checking him. And, you know, even the local news stations are saying, like, you know, that are correcting his stats. So that's ludicrous. But what he's doing is violent crime and the danger in cities and immigration are things that he knows that pulls better for him than anything else, especially when it comes to tariffs and the cost of everything that's, you know, cost of living right now. And so, and the slashes to Medicare and Medicaid that had just passed under his the Republican budget bill. And so those are things that are really important. So what he does and what he's good at is, I mean, he did it when he was on television. Let's find the most flashy thing and let's talk about that first and shift the narrative. negative. We've been sitting in here since 4 o'clock, and CNN's been behind us, and the entire time it's been talking about the DC takeover of the police, the entire 13 minutes of the first segment. Yeah. They're talking about that. They're not talking about tariffs. I thought it was really interesting today. I was scrolling like I do on social media, and Debbie Monterey posted about how everything is going up. You know, she mentioned on her Facebook page it's 12%, you know, increase in Amarin, coffee prices are 100% up, you know, chocolate's double digits, fast casual restaurants are up 42%. So the cost of living, and a lot of these have to do with tariffs, and people are feeling it, whether it be utility bills, just going to the grocery store. And that is not a winning issue. And there's things that he could be doing to fix the actual problems of that to drive down costs. Instead, he's doing things like tariffs that are ended up, let's be honest, they're driving up costs. So he's going to use things like taking over the DC Police Department. He did it with the Build the Wall and his first stint in the White House was his whole talking point. We're going to build this wall. And then he was walking on the border, but it was to distract from his other domestic policies, which, and frankly, are not working and people do not approve of.
Yeah. He does it well.
Yeah. And it's frustrating to me. I mean, I don't know about you, Kurt, but like everything does feel more expensive, but it's like, who gets the blame?
Right.
It's always the problem that I'm running into, and to communicate that to the public. I mean, just going anywhere. I mean, it's just more expensive and it's okay. But like, we're talking about, you know, the billionaires and them making more money, more tax cuts for them. And it's like, what are we doing? What about somebody, a family of four that makes $100,000 a year and lives in a mid market? Yeah. I don't think that is even being talked to. There's nothing being talked to about that.
Yeah. Inflation is that quiet taxation that is hard to understand and hard to explain.
Yeah.
It's a lot of smart talk right there.
It's very fascinating.
Yeah.
It's almost like people would rather that he beats up on the people they don't like than do things to help them.
Flesh that out.
Well, I mean, Who does he take everything out on? He's going to go against the mean liberals. He's going to get those immigrants. What's he doing for you? What's he do? What are those what are the tariff policies doing to you day to day? Do you like spending more money on your food? Do you like spending more money on your coffee? Do you like those things? Is there anything in this for Joe American, regardless of whether you voted for him or didn't? Where's the benefit for any one of us that is just a normie? We're not rich. We're not really politically elite one way or the other. We don't really care. But like, where's my benefit to doing what you're doing? Because if there's no benefit to the average American, then what's the point?
Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, was pointed out during the first campaign in 2016 is, you know, who does he care about? I mean, the Democrats have always said, you know, the working person, you know, the poor, the middle class, you know, and it's always been an underknown fact. I believe that the Republican Party was always out for the businessman, you know, the more wealthy individuals. And now they're just doing it out loud. I mean, I don't think, to your point, Wheeler, I just don't see. And it's his base, which are the ones that sometimes can be the poorest in this country, and they are still supporting him blindly, and they're not seeing any benefits of it. And it's remarkable to me that and that's why I have to disengage. I mean, I think sometimes I have to, because it becomes so frustrating, and there's only so many you can say to somebody to try to convince them until they just don't listen anymore.
What do you think that is indicative of mostly? Is it the same more about the electorate or more about this one individual human's ability to communicate effectively?
He gets people. I think he gets people.
Yeah.
Because he plays emotions and we're emotional.
Yeah. He did it on television. Like, it's television and the real world and politics are all kind of blend together. I don't know how many times I've met with candidates that think how you run an election is like how it is on the West Wing. It couldn't be farther from that. It is not anything like that. It is about, you know, the little things, the here and there, the actual minutia of running a campaign. But it's also persuading public opinion. And how do you get on local 2, 4, and 5 and Camo X? How do you get your message out? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And he's just able to get his message out in these little slogans that really don't mean anything, that don't really have any policy behind them, but they work.
Yeah. Are you proud of it, Kurt? And I don't mean you like you represent every Republican, but I mean, is it right on? Or is it more like...
And am I wrong when I say, are we benefiting? Because I mean,
yeah,
that's a possibility. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, think it behooves the Trump administration to explain to the general public, yes, you know, these tariffs are increasing taxes on American people and that you have to pay more money for imports. But because of that, now we are incentivized to buy local products as opposed to importing from other countries. And then we're benefiting the local economies of American businesses. And so if the Trump administration can do a better job saying, look, yes, these tariffs are having this pain, but they're also creating this benefit by, you know, bringing money and keeping money local into the U.S., into local business, small business across the country, then he can show this is the benefit that we have because of these tariffs.
I'll bet you, though, if the Democrats were doing the exact same thing, they wouldn't like it because I don't see the positive effect. I see the negative effect, and I can understand it intellectually, and I can see it just in my pocketbook. But if billions and billions go into the federal coffers, that's meaningless to me because they're just going to waste it, right? I don't view it like a personal bank account that, oh, Braxton's going
to get a rebate,
$30,000 in his checking account. Well, Braxton will do something with the $30,000, yeah. But you put $1 trillion into the federal coffers, it's just gone.
Right. Well, and if so, this is where I get confused/frustrated. If you're trying to sell us it's a good thing, then why are you telling us someone else is actually paying the bills that we're paying?
Yeah.
I hear every business owner that talks about this a lot. There's a lady that talks about this on social media. She makes these things for baby trays. Yeah. And all of the materials, it's manufactured in China because nobody here does it. It's not sourced here. And if she did it here, it would triple the cost and then nobody would buy it and she'd be out of business.
Yeah.
Tell me how that's better and tell me how she's not paying the bill instead of China paying the bill, because China's not paying anything in that sense. They're just not making the money that she would buy, but she's the one that's going to lose her business.
Yeah. All right. We're only doing one segment these days, so you guys are done. Thank you.
Great job.
Yeah, appreciate it. Quick break. Right back. DGS KMOX.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
DGS on KMOX, quick little break here. Great male cheerleaders?
Yeah, so let me get this story pulled up. Sorry. There's a male cheerleader. I feel like it's the Bills, but let me know. Maybe you saw this, Wheels. It might also be the Vikings. Yeah, it's the Vikings. Okay. It's the Vikings. So there's the first ever male cheerleader for the Vikings. His name is Blaze. And this is just like an attempt to be more inclusive. There's obviously things I think a male cheerleader is going to add to the squad, like maybe be a better base in certain situations, whatever's going on. Apparently enough people are upset about this and canceling their Viking season tickets that wow. It's turned into a story. And I'm just like, can someone please explain to me why that would bother you in any way or yes. be a big deal at all?
I can.
Okay, please do.
Because male cheerleaders are gay, and gay is bad, and the NFL is manly, and we don't want anything gay in the NFL. I disagree with everything about that, but I think that's the simple and true explanation.
Do we know that he's gay?
No, I'm just saying that that's the thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the kind of thing where it's like, you got to think of a better reason to dislike something. Like, yes. It's 2025.
Get a better reason.
Yeah, it's you just sound so small-minded and dumb when it's just like, a guy, I'm canceling my season tickets.
And they're not canceling their season tickets.
Yeah, probably not.